Hello and welcome to this week's podcast with me, Laura Merrilies. Now, the start of the year often means for many employers the start of recruitment strategies. However, on a less positive note, uncertain economic times may also lead to the opposite, having to withdraw job offers which are now no longer commercially viable, perhaps. With me here this week to discuss the legal ramifications of making and then withdrawing job offers and the practical steps that you can take as an employer to best protect your position in either of those scenarios is Senior Employment Law Editor Cleo Springer. So, Cleo, you've gone through a recruitment process and selected your chosen candidate and you want to make a job offer. What are the main things that employers need to be aware of when they are making job offers?
Well, the first thing is be aware that once an offer's made and accepted, a contract is formed. And this means that as the employer, you're contractually bound by any agreement that you've made, even agreements made before the employee starts work.
Okay, and we'll come on to the implications of what being contractually bound means in a bit. And what we're discussing here doesn't just apply to written offers and written acceptance, does it?
No, you're right. Even if you've only made a verbal offer, so it could be a very informal verbal offer, that concept applies. As long as there's an offer there and the person has accepted it, and that could be a verbal acceptance, then the contract's formed.
So employers need to be very careful during the recruitment process that they don't go making job offers that they didn't mean to make.
Well, that's right.
And are there any other key points for employers to take on board when making a job offer?
But it's very important when you're making job offers, if you want the future employee to meet certain requirements, that you make the offer conditional on those requirements being met. It's a common mistake for employers is not to make this clear in the offer.
And what sort of requirements are you talking about generally there?
Mainly satisfactory references, but also we're talking about the pre-employment health check, right to work in the UK. Often it's necessary to check that certain qualifications have been obtained. And also, of course, in some cases, the disclosure and barring service check, so the criminal records check, if that's relevant.
And the implications of not making this clear in the offer that these requirements must be met?
Well, if you've made a job offer but not made it conditional on your requirements being met, and the person then doesn't meet those requirements, then you can't just withdraw the offer without any liability. You've formed a contract, so you'd be breaching that contract if you then go and withdraw it.
So what should employers do to avoid getting into this situation in the first place?
Well, make absolutely clear in the offer that it's conditional on the requirements being met. Then once you're satisfied that your requirements are being met, you can confirm the job offer. It then becomes an unconditional offer.
Just to recap, we mentioned potential liability where the employer makes an offer verbally that it doesn't mean to make, or it makes an offer that should have been conditional on certain requirements being met, but those requirements weren't made clear in the offer. So to confirm, in both of those scenarios, a contract has been formed and this is binding.
If it's been accepted, and that's important to note, so there's no contract if the offer has not been accepted. So if the employer withdraws the offer before the job candidate has accepted it, then it won't be breaching the contract.
Okay, so acting early before acceptance is the message for employers to take on board here. Let's move on then, and let's assume that the employee has accepted, so the contract has been formed. So as the employer, you might be needing to withdraw an offer because, as we've just been discussing, it was made verbally during the recruitment process by someone who shouldn't have done it, or the candidate might not have met conditions that are required, but this wasn't made clear, so the job offer wasn't conditional. But there could be other genuine circumstances in which an employer needs to withdraw a job offer, couldn't there?
Well, yes, for example, the situation might have changed. There might be a sudden recruitment freeze or funding for the post might be withdrawn. There might be new management or the organisation might be going through a restructure.
Yeah, and of course, withdrawing a job offer's likely to be bad for reputation in those circumstances, and that shouldn't be underestimated. But are there any other more tangible risks for the employer?
Well, as I said, once an unconditional offer is made and accepted, a contract is formed. So if it's terminated by the employer, the individual could be entitled to damages for breach of contract.
And what would those damages be?
Well, as with any termination of a contract, they'll be notice due. And in practical terms, you're going to be liable for pay and benefits due if the person would have started work during what amounts to the notice period.
And there's a useful case, isn't there, that neatly illustrates an employer's liability for notice pay?
Yes, this situation was illustrated in an employment tribunal case called McCann versus Snow Zone Limited. And this is in the context of a verbal offer being made and accepted.
Can you just tell us a bit about that case?
Well, the case concerned an offer over the phone made by an employment agency acting for the employer. The claimant accepted the offer, which was subsequently withdrawn by the employer.
And then what happened in the tribunal?
Well, the tribunal held that a contract of employment was created and it could be terminated only by the giving of notice according to its terms. So the claimant was entitled to pay in lieu.
And how much did that amount to?
Well, as the employer hadn't provided details of the terms of the contract, the tribunal determined that notice would be what would have been a reasonable period of notice in the contract, in this case, 1 month.
And there are full details of the case in the Law Reports tool on the site for listeners who want to look into that further. But how can employers avoid this type of situation, being liable for notice pay for employees who haven't even worked for you yet?
Well, there are different scenarios, so there's different ways to avoid this. The obvious ones, making clear that offers are conditional if there are requirements like references and the right to work checks that we mentioned to be done. This way you can withdraw the job offer if those conditions aren't met. So you need to train your recruiting managers, and as shown in the case we just talked about, any recruitment agencies that might be acting on your behalf, that they need to be careful what they say. So don't say anything that could be construed as a job offer.
Okay, so generally, making sure your recruitment and job offer procedures are tight. How about where the intention genuinely was to recruit the person and an offer was made and accepted, but it then needs to be withdrawn?
So we're talking here about where the recruiting employer's plans change. For example, the recruitment freeze. Obviously, that's a far from ideal situation. And again, you'll be liable for damages, this being what would have been the notice period. But you can try to limit the damage by informing the individual as soon as possible so they can mitigate their loss. So they might not have resigned yet from their current job. They might be able to ask for their old job back. So the sooner you act, the better, really. Another advantage of dealing with the situation as soon as possible is that if you withdraw the job offer quickly, it's more likely that the notice period you will have to give will end before the person would otherwise have started work for you. So this would limit the damages due.
And obviously, bearing in mind the PR and reputational risks that we touched on earlier, apologise to the individual.
Well, that's right. Explain the situation and obviously that it's no fault of the applicant's.
So if we could go back a bit to conditional job offers and a quite common situation that arises when an employer makes a job offer. Quite often the employer can't wait until all the checks have been done and everything is confirmed before someone starts. They need to get someone in quickly to get on with a job. If they do that, does that negate everything? Does it mean that the employer can no longer rely on the fact that it's a conditional offer if, say, a poor reference comes in after the person started work to then be able to go on and withdraw the offer?
Well, to be honest, the legal position's a little bit unclear on this. It's arguable that the employer, by allowing the person to start working without, say, the reference, has waived the requirement to provide a reference in the conditional offer. As an employer, you might be able to strengthen your position by making clear that continued employment is conditional on all the requirements being met. And this might mean that you're not bound by any contractual notice if you end the employment, because you've already made clear that the job could be withdrawn. But this isn't necessarily watertight, so you wouldn't want to be relying on this over a long period.
Yes, and of course, if the employee has already started work, statutory rights will kick in at that point, won't they, including statutory notice?
Well, that's right. And the employee would be entitled to statutory notice as a minimum. And I should point out that there are some checks that you must make sure are complete before the person starts, such as the right to work in the UK, and if it applies to the disclosure and barring check.
Okay, so starting someone without being happy that all the checks are okay is best avoided. But if you are going to, make it clear in writing that continued employment, as you say, is subject to the conditions you've set out. But as an employer, accept that you may be liable anyway for pay and benefits during a statutory and possibly contractual notice period too.
That's right.
Okay, well, we've talked about damages for withdrawing job offers. Is there any other liability?
Well, another area where employers need to be careful is where a job offer is being withdrawn due to information provided in references. If there could be a discriminatory element in this, the employer could be liable. And this is most likely to relate to disability discrimination, where a reference concerns sickness absence.
And this was also illustrated in a case, wasn't it?
Yes, that's right. This case was discussed during one of our podcasts last year, and the case was Pineza versus NHS England and another. In this case, the claimant was offered a position subject to satisfactory references, but the job offer was withdrawn following a telephone call between her interviewer, who knew about the claimant's disability related absences with the former employer, and her former manager, who had provided an agreed reference. And the tribunal found that her former manager raised doubts about her suitability to take on the new role.
And she claimed discrimination arising from disability.
Yes, and she brought this claim against her former and prospective employers, and her claim was upheld by the EAT.
And both employers were found liable?
Yes, they were both found to have committed discrimination arising from disability.
Okay, so advice to recruiting employers in this situation would be not to use absence in a previous position as a key reason for not making a job offer.
That's right.
And any other points to be aware of concerning job offers?
Well, terms of job offers must not be less favourable than they would otherwise be because of a protected characteristic such as race or sex, nor must there be any conditions attached to pensions auto-enrolment. So you can't make a job offer conditional on the successful applicant agreeing to opt out of pensions auto-enrolment.
Okay, so Cleo, key takeaways from today's discussion?
Well, don't go making job offers that you don't mean to make, as once they're accepted, you'll be contractually bound. Make the requirements of a conditional offer crystal clear. And if you need to withdraw a job offer, act early and be careful that offers aren't made or withdrawn for discriminatory reasons.
Absolutely. Thanks very much, Cleo. And you can find plenty of information on what we've discussed today on the site. To name a few of the resources, we have the Good Practice Manual and Line Manager Briefings on job offers. Then there are our policies and documents. And of course, the Employment Law Manual has further details. Well, that brings us to the end of this week's podcast, which you've been listening to with me, Laura Merrilees. We're back again next Friday, but until then, it's goodbye from us.